Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making one of those classic jungle and old school DNB moves that instantly gives a drop that rewind-worthy feeling. We're going to perform a sampler rack, resample the best moments to audio, and then chop that audio into a heavier, more musical drop phrase in Ableton Live 12. The big idea here is simple, but it's powerful. We're not just designing a bass patch. We're capturing energy. That means we want a rack that behaves like a little live performance, something with a sublayer, a moving mid-bass, a few drum accents, and just enough FX movement to feel raw and exciting. Then we print that performance to audio, because once it's audio, we can treat it like a classic jungle sample. Slice it, mute it, flip it around, and arrange it like a DJ would. If you've ever heard a drop that feels like it wants to be rewound the second it hits, this is the kind of process behind it. It's that slightly messy, edited, committed feeling. Not too perfect, not too polished, just enough chaos to sound alive. So let's start by building the rack. Create a new MIDI track and make an instrument rack that can act like a mini drop engine. Inside it, build a clean sublayer, ideally with something simple like operator or wave eatable set to a sine wave. Keep that mono and stable. Then add a mid-bass layer, maybe a restyle patch with a little detune or movement. You can use wave eatable, operator, or analog here. The point is not to make it huge on its own. The point is to give it character in the mids while the sub stays locked. If you want to make this more jungle flavored, add a small drum rack or some one-shot accent sounds inside the same performance setup. Think break slices, rim shots, reverse cymbal hits, dub siren stabs, or little transition noises. Keep it focused. We're not building the whole arrangement yet. We just want a playable rack that can give us a strong, two bar phrase. Now add some cleanup and tone shaping after the sound sources. Saturator is great here for a bit of harmonics. A small amount of drive can make the mid-bass feel a lot more alive. Then EQ8 for cleaning up mud and controlling the low mids. If the rack starts getting thick around 200 to 400 Hz, carve some of that out on the mid layer. And if you want movement, add auto filter or even a little phaser or flanger very subtly. The key word is subtle. In DNB, especially this style, you want movement that feels like a performance, not a sci-fi effect demonstration. A good rule of thumb, the sub should stay simple, the mid should move, and the accents should add attitude. Now let's write the musical phrase. Create a two-bar MIDI clip and think in terms of phrasing, not just note placement. A really strong old-school style pattern often leaves space for the drums to hit. So maybe your bass answers on the offbeats, then leaves room for the snare to crack through. Maybe bar 1 is a little more spacious, and bar 2 introduces a small variation or a fill. That call and response feeling is a huge part of why these drops work. One hit says something, the next hit answers it. Then you leave a little gap so the listener feels the weight of the space. Try something like this, a kick on beat 1, snares on 2 and 4, then bass notes on the end of 1 and the end of 3. Add one short FX hit leading into the snare of bar 2. Maybe finish the second bar with a slightly tighter note, or a quick filter open stab that makes it feel like the phrase is building toward a reset. Use note length and velocity to make it feel human and punchy. Shorter notes can create that chopped, old-school feel. Slight velocity changes can keep repeated notes from sounding flat. And for the sub, keep those notes clean and consistent so the low end doesn't turn to mush. Here's a useful teacher tip. One tiny anticipatory note before the snare can make the whole loop feel more alive than adding three extra notes. Sometimes one little push is all you need. Now we add motion. Automate the filter on the mid-bass so it opens and closes across the phrase. You might start with a cutoff around the low mid-range and let it sweep upward on certain hits. Don't overdo the resonance, because if it gets too whistly it stops feeling like a bass and starts sounding like a filter demo. Keep it musical. Think of it as the bass talking, not wobbling endlessly. You can also automate saturation or gain a little bit on the last hit of the phrase. That's a classic way to create lift into the next bar. Even a tiny increase in drive or resonance at the end can make the loop feel like it's straining forward. If your rack has a macro setup, even better. Map the key controls so you can perform the phrase in real time. You want to take that feels slightly risky. If everything is perfectly controlled, it won't have that dubplate energy. Add one or two bold gestures. Maybe a bigger filter sweep, maybe a quick mute, maybe a sudden FX throw. Those little imperfections can make the resampled result way more exciting. Now we print it, create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm the track and play your rack performance through. Record a few passes if you can. One clean version, one with more movement, one with more aggressive FX or filter action. Don't worry about perfecting every take. You want options. This is the moment where the whole thing starts to become a real jungle-style edit. With sampling forces commitment, it turns a playable patch into a fixed performance, and that fixed performance usually feels more finished and more energetic than a loop that's still endlessly editable. When you record, keep your levels sensible. You want headroom. Aim for peaks around -6 to -3 dB before the resample. If it's clipping, pull the rack down first. Let the distortion happen only if you want it to happen. Once the audio is printed, listen through and find the best moments. You're looking for the last bass hit before the loop resets, any snare and bass combos, a strong FX swell, or a hit with a really good tail on it. These are your chop targets. Now start cutting. Slice the audio into half bar, one bar, and even single hit pieces. You can do this manually, or use Slice to New MIDI Track if you want to retrigger the pieces with pads or notes. But for this lesson, manual chopping is great because it makes you really think like an editor. This is where the rewind magic lives. Put the strongest hits into a new arrangement so they create a little lead-in. Maybe start with a 2-bar tension phrase, then drop out for a beat, then hit the listener with a chopped bass fragment or reverse-style phrase. That little moment of negative space is incredibly powerful. It makes the return feel bigger. A lot of people think rewind energy comes from adding a tape stop effect. Sometimes it does, but often the real feeling comes from restraint. A short stop, a filtered hit, a chopped restart, then the full drop slumming back in. That's what gets people leaning forward. You can also use tiny micro-edits here. Trim the front edge of a hit by a few milliseconds so it snaps harder. Overlap a bass chop slightly into the next drum accent so it feels glued together. These tiny details matter a lot in resampled audio. They're the kind of edits that give the phrase a professional, sample-based feel. Now we clean it up, put a Q8 on the resampled audio and check the low end first. If the chops contain too much unnecessary sub, high pass the non-sub elements. Keep the actual sub centered and mono. Use utility if you need to check mono compatibility or control width. And if the break layer or FX are fighting the snare, carve a little space so the drums can punch through. If the resampled loop sounds boxy, try a small cut in the low mids around 250 to 400 Hz. If it's biting too hard, look around 2.5 to 5 kHz and ease that area back a little. For top end harshness, a gentle cut around 7 to 9 kHz can help. It's also worth checking the drop at low volume. This is a really good reality check. If the rhythm and bass relationship still reads clearly when it's quiet, then it's probably going to hit hard on a system. Now let's arrange the drop with contrast. A strong DNB drop usually doesn't stay equally dense the whole time. It breathes. It leans in and pulls back. So maybe bars 1 and 2 are the main resampled phrase with enough space between hits to let them land. Bars 3 and 4 can be the variation, maybe with a break chop or a different bass fragment. Bars 5 and 6 can get more aggressive. Then bars 7 and 8 can strip back or create a mini break before the next section. The principle here is contrast, not constant intensity. Heavy does not always mean busy. In this style, heavy often means the arrangement knows when to stop, when to leave a gap, and when to hit again. Try a fake out moment too. Cut the low end for half a bar, then return with a tiny chopped fragment before the full phrase comes back. That almost drop feeling can make the real drop hit even harder. You can also automate your return tracks and mix bus for extra impact. A quick reverb throw on a transition hit, then a sharp cut before the drop, can make the space feel huge. A delay spike on a siren or snare fill can add that rave style flair. Even a brief high pass sweep on the phrase right before the impact can make the restart feel more dramatic. If you want an extra underground touch, resample with the room in the sound. Tiny reverb tails, little break imperfections, short delay throws, those things can make the result feel less sterile and more authentic. A few final pro tips before you finish. If your patch feels too polite, add one ugly harmonic source. A slightly crushed layer or a clipped break slice can give the resample character. If the bass needs more aggression, try a parallel distorted mid layer. Keep your main resample controlled, then blend in a dirtier duplicate underneath. If you want that rewind moment to feel physical, try a quick pitch dip on the last bass hit before the reset. It's a simple move, but it can sell the whole idea without needing a giant tape stop effect. And don't forget the old school lesson here. Sometimes the most exciting phrase is the one that leaves something out. Missing information creates tension. Missing sub for half a bar. Missing the break layer for one pass, missing the obvious full drop for a beat. That absence is part of the impact. So to recap, Build a focused sampler rack with sub, mid, bass, and a few accents. Perform a two-bar phrase with movement and space. Resample it to audio. Chop the best bits into new phrases. Clean up the mix so the sub stays mono and the mid stay controlled. Then arrange with contrast, silence, and a little bit of attitude. The goal is not just to make a bass loop. The goal is to capture a moment that feels like it could get rewound in a rave. If it feels like the track is almost too exciting to keep moving forward, you're on the right path. All right, now it's your turn. Build that rack, print that performance, and make the drop want to come back around.